We're thinking of God's law and love as it is described there in Romans 13, verses 8 to 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilment of the law. So were the Beatles right? All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Well, I think we'll discover that that's not quite what this passage is saying. Let's just put it in its context here in this letter to the Romans. This passage comes in the section of Paul's letter that sets out how those who have been saved through by grace through faith in Jesus Christ should live. That's what Romans 12 through to 16 is about. In 1 to 11, he's explained about salvation in Jesus Christ. And picking up the hymn we've just sung about the floodgates of God's mercy, well, those floodgates are to change the way we live. And that's what these chapters describe. This is part of this section where Paul is describing what the saved life looks like. And here particularly, he's drawing on the importance of love. Well, think first of all then of the debt of love. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. This is related to what he's just said in verse 7, that you're to give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes, because the word for debt is related to that word for owe, what you owe. It's the same word. It's brought out in some translations that begin verse 8, owe no one anything. So give everyone what you owe him, verse 7. Verse 8, owe no one anything except the continuing debt to love one another. So he said in verse 7, you're to pay your debts as a citizen. Taxes, the revenue, respect and honour. And it's in the context of those in authority. So we have to respect and honour even our politicians at the moment. Pay your debts as a citizen. But don't think you can pay off your debt of love. You can pay off your debts as a citizen, and you must do, taxes, revenue, respect and honour. But don't think that you can ever pay off your debt of love. The debt that you owe, the debt of love that you owe to others. And just to make clear that Paul is not saying that we shouldn't be in debt. He's not saying don't be in debt. He's actually saying don't be in arrears. Because obviously you've got debts in verse 7. You do owe things. So Paul's not saying it's wrong to owe things. He's saying it's wrong to be in arrears with whatever you owe. And that's brought out there in the NIV. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love. So all our other debts, we need to make sure we're paying them. But the debt of love, well, that's an ongoing obligation. That's something we're going to continually owe. And it's a debt that we owe to all. It's not just one another. He says there the continuing debt to love one another. We might think it's fellow Christians. But again, the verse begins more literally, owe no one anything. It's not just brothers and sisters, owe no one anything except the debt of love. And it's he who loves his fellow man. Literally, that's the other. He who loves the other. Not just the brother and sister. It's everyone. We have a debt that we owe to all and everyone. And so we're to recognise that the love that you owe to the other, whether it's to your wife or husband, whether it's to your parents or your children, whether it's to fellow believers, near and far, whether it's to work colleagues, whether it's to your physical neighbours, whether it's to those in need, Because remember the story Jesus told when someone said, "Who is my neighbor?" And he told the story of the Good Samaritan who was a neighbor to the man in need. So we're not to think that the love we owe to all these people is ever paid off. You owe others love every day. And you will owe others love every day. And those others in all those areas, in all those relationships, you owe love to them. And you're never to think one day, all my debts are paid. My debt of love, I've done it. I've paid it all to my husband, my wife, my children, and my parents, my neighbours, my colleagues, my fellow believers. I've paid my debt. I'm done. No, no. That's an ongoing debt. And every day, you have obligations of love to all these others that the Lord has put you amongst and in contact with. That's the debt of love. It's an ongoing debt, something that we owe afresh every day to those around us in all those different relationships. But then Paul speaks in these verses about the law fulfilled. And notice how he says that there in verse 8, first of all, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Verse 10, love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. What law is Paul speaking about? Well, he makes that clear in the middle verse, verse 9. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, whatever other commandment there may be. He's speaking about God's law as formulated in the Ten Commandments. It's from the Ten Commandments that he quotes. When he thinks of the law that's fulfilled in love, he's thinking of God's law as expressed in the Ten Commandments. He chooses four commandments from the second section of the law. Remember, the first four commandments are to do with our duties towards God. No gods before me, no idols in to worship God. We are to respect God's name. We are to give God one day a week. And the second six commandments about our relationships to one another. Honor your parents. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. We've been studying them over the past weeks. I hope, perhaps I should have left some out and see if you got the missed ones. We need to know those commandments. Paul quotes a selection and sample of those commandments from God's law. And so that reminds us that Paul, when he spoke of God's law, sometimes he had different things in mind. Here he's thinking particularly of God's moral law as it pertains to our duties to one another, to our fellow man. Because love doesn't fulfill the ceremonial law that the Israelites had. Love for our neighbour doesn't fulfill the ceremonial law. Love fulfills God's moral law, the duties that we have to one another. And it's interesting there that as Paul writes to these Roman Christians, it must be that this law is binding on them. This law of God, as summarized in the Ten Commandments, needs to be fulfilled by them. And it's fulfilled as they love one another. And then Paul summarizes these commandments. He brings them together under one head. Whatever other commandment may be, are summarized or summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. So it's important to remember that a summary includes all that it summarizes. This one command isn't doing away with all those other commands. It's summarizing them, bringing them together under one head. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That comes in a section in Leviticus 19, that itself is summaries of God's law. In Leviticus 19, We can read from verse 11. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So you can see there are summary commands there that are brought together by Moses there in Leviticus 19. And Paul brings that concluding command, love your neighbor as yourself. He does it again as he writes to the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, where he says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. That's the opposite of loving your neighbor, biting, devouring one another. James calls this law the royal law. James chapter 2 verse 8. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. That's the law of God's kingdom, to love your neighbor as yourself. And we're reminded, no doubt, of the summary that Jesus gave when he was asked, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? This is in Matthew 22. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. It's interesting to note, just to pause there for a moment and recognize that love your neighbor as yourself is a command. It's part of God's law. We're not replacing God's law with this command. This is a command of God's law, to love our neighbor as ourselves. God commands that we exercise this love for one another. And then back in Romans 13, in verse 10, when Paul says, love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. I think he's reflecting on the fact that, as he's quoted those commandments, they are negatives. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. Love does no harm. It fulfills those do nots. And that's why the law is fulfilled by love. Well, then I think we need to think about how love fulfills the law. We've seen this, the debt of love that we owe to everyone, a continual debt. We've seen the importance of having the law fulfilled, even for these Gentile and Jewish believers in the church in Rome. They must fulfill the law, God's law. Well, how love fulfills the law. Love does not dispense with or displace the law. It's important to note that it fulfills the law. It doesn't dispense with or displace it. Brian Edwards, in his little book on the, not little book, on his book on the Ten Commandments, makes these points. two young people may justify sex before marriage because of love. A husband may defend his adultery on the basis of love. The murder of a cruel husband may be prompted by love for the wife and children. Two men may enjoy a close bond of loving friendship, such as David and Jonathan experienced, but what will hold them back from allowing it to degenerate into a sexual relationship? Who is to say whether any of these actions are right or wrong? In each case, it is the law that regulates love. Law and love were never intended to be divorced. And that's the point, surely, that Paul is making here. And the theologian John Murray makes the very helpful point that love is emotive, motive, and expulsive. And he makes those three points about love in connection with what is happening here. Love is emotive, love is motive, and love is expulsive. What does he mean? Well, love is emotive. It creates affinity with and affection for the object. Love is an emotion, and we have it makes a connection with the person that we're to love. It gives us an affection for the person we love. And that's what has to happen. If we're to love our neighbour as ourselves, we've got to feel affection for them. We've got to love them. We've got to have that feeling towards them, that affinity with them. But that's not all. That's not sufficient, because love is also motive. It impels to action. It puts things in motion. That's what love is to do. Yes, it's to be that feeling, but then it's to impel to action. Arthur Pink says, love is not a substitution for law obedience, but it is that which prompts the believer to render obedience. Love is motive. It gives us a motivation to do good to our neighbour. And then love is expulsive. It expels what is alien to the interests which love seeks to promote. So love gets rid of those things that are against love. So love is, it motivates you, but it also expels those things that are contrary to love and contrary to the best interest of your neighbour. It fulfills those do nots. It does no harm to its neighbour. And so love operates like that to fulfil the law. It is emotive. It gives us an affection for someone. It is motive. It impels us to action. And is expulsive. It gets rid of what is contrary to love in our actions and attitudes. And so this word fulfil that we have here twice in this passage, it's used back in the day when Paul was writing of a ship's company. Someone is intending a voyage, and he wants to make sure he's got the full complement of staff for his ship. All the people he needs to run the voyage, he needs to make sure that he's got the full complement. He fulfills. Perhaps it's more helpful to turn it the other way around. He fills full his staff. That's what love does. It fills full the commandment. Again, John Murray has a very helpful statement. Love fills to the brim the cup which law puts into our hands. Love fills to the brim the cup that law puts into our hands. So the law tells us what we must do. Love fills that to the brim. So that we do it with all our heart. We do it to the best of our ability. We do it continually. We do it to all. We don't do it grudgingly. Oh, I've got to love that person again today. No, love fills it to the brim. So it overflows from our hearts to others. That's how love fulfills the law. It fills it full so that we do all that the law requires. all that's implied in these commands. We don't just keep the bare command. We do all that's related to it for those whom we are to love. And so love fills full the law. And it's striking how Paul puts that in verse 10. Literally he says, love does no harm to its neighbour. Therefore the fulfilment of the law is love. He actually makes a love sandwich there in verse 10. It begins with love and it ends with love. Love does no harm to its neighbour. Therefore, the fulfilment of the law is love. It fills the law, all that God requires and demands of us. Love puts it into practice and makes it real. Not a show, not a burden. It makes it real as we express love for one another. So God's law and love. Don't divorce them. Don't think the only law we need is love. Unfortunately, that's how one translation translates verse 10, the Living Bible. The only law you need is love. No, love fills full God's law. We need God's law to direct our love, to know what's right and how to love. But love fills it full as we demonstrate and live as the people who have experienced God's love. See, that's where we are in Romans. We've experienced God's love. Floodgates of mercy have been poured on our lives. God's love to those who are undeserving and ill-deserving. We're not lovely, but God has loved us. And that love, you see, is to find a reflection in our hearts as we love others. However unlovely they might be, however challenging it is to love them, love will fill to the brim the cup that the law puts in our hands. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that you are love. Thank you that you have demonstrated your love for us in sending your Son to be the Saviour of the world. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Lord, thank you for your love. And we do pray, Lord, that you will grant us grace, that that love might so fill our hearts, that we fulfil and fill to the full all that your law demands of us in what we owe in love to others. Lord, we need your grace. We need your Holy Spirit to fill us, Lord, each day and in each relationship that we have. Lord, please forgive us for our failure. Lord, forgive us that we've loved ourselves much more than we've loved others. Pardon us, please. And grant your grace that we might, if we have known your love in our lives, live the lives of saved people. And Lord, if we have not yet opened our hearts to your love, Lord, be gracious to us. Help us to see, Lord, that we cannot earn your favour by our performance. We fail to keep your commands. We are condemned. We need Jesus Christ as Saviour. Lord, help us today to trust him, if we haven't done so, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of our sin, that we might be right with you. And then, Lord, change our lives for your glory. These mercies we seek from your loving hand through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.